So continuing on with your personal journal club, I see that at ASCO you had a pretty cool, actually poster discussion paper on a really interesting issue, which is retreatment with immunotherapy after people have had toxicity. So before I ask you about it, I want to get your take on a case from Dr. Matt Gubins, who I also interviewed for a previous issue of this series. You told me about a really interesting case of a patient who had a great response to, I think it was either Nevo or Pembro, but got pneumonitis. And then he wanted to retreat, and he didn't know what to do, and he actually gave the patient atezo. And anyhow, it just brought up this issue of retreatment. So, and incidentally, I'm curious to know what you would do with somebody who had a great response but still got pneumonitis. In this case, Matt's patient, I think, again, got better with steroids. I'm curious, where do you think things stand in terms of anti-PD-L1 versus anti-PD-1 in terms of toxicity, in terms of pulmonary toxicity? Matt was saying he wasn't at all convinced there was a difference, but atezolizumab is approved, so he tried it. You think there's anything to all that?
I think it's possible. It does seem like some of the reports from the PD-L1 drugs have a slightly decreased risk of toxicity, at least particularly related to pneumonitis. I think I saw one report of pneumonitis in PD-L1 treated patients was in the 1-2% range as opposed to the 4-5% range for the PD-1 drugs. I think in the case where someone who had a really nice response to PD-1 therapy but developed pneumonitis, my instinct would be to watch them, allow the pneumonitis to resolve, and see how durable that response to PD-1 therapy is in the first place. If they were to progress at some point in the future, I could understand the logic of trying a PD-L1 drug first. And even if they didn't respond to the PD-L1 drug, I might even try the PD-1 drug again, recognizing that there's an increased risk, but if you can recapture that benefit somehow, it's worth so much to the patient.
And what did you guys report on at ASCO on retreatment?
I think it's a really emerging population of patients that have these immune-related toxicities, and there is really no guidance for what to do. And that was the spur for us to look into this report. And what we did was to look back at all of our patients treated at Sloan Kettering and to identify those patients who had had some delay in their treatment. And we tried to adjudicate whether that delay was because of some other reason, whether it was because they progressed or because they were on holiday, and then to drill into those patients that had some delay because of a toxicity. Some of those patients that had a toxicity were never retreated, and I can appreciate many reasons for doing that. But about half of the patients actually were retreated. And so what we tried to describe was what happened to those patients who were retreated, how safe was it, and how effective was it? What we found was that of those patients who were retreated, about half of those patients had another immune-related toxicity that came back. And so about 50% of patients had some trouble when they were retreated. And I think that how you view that is one of the sort of it's in the eye of the beholder. On one hand, toxicity was not uniform. And so maybe it is possible to retreat some patients. On the other hand, there was an increased rate of toxicity. And I can understand some caution with retreating patients. I think our bar for what kind of toxicities we're willing to accept does have to be contextualized by what's happening with the patient, which is that they're suffering from an otherwise fatal illness. And so I think in that context, it makes me a little more willing to push the envelope sometimes.
And I mean, you're talking about a therapy that has the possibility of throwing them into maybe a prolonged, very good quality of life remission, otherwise downhill course.
And so that's why we also tried to determine, like, maybe you can retreat, but should you? And so another thing that we looked into was how people did by whether or not they responded and then were retreated, or if they didn't respond and were retreated. What we found was that those patients that had had an early response to treatment and then were either retreated or not, those patients did about the same, regardless of whether they were retreated or not. And so it seemed that for those patients who are otherwise doing well already, it's changed my practice so that I don't rush to retreat those patients if they're otherwise doing okay. When comparing those patients that didn't have a response, though, there did seem to be somewhat of a benefit for those patients that were retreated. And so I think that if I were ever going to retreat somebody, it would probably be those patients that had a toxicity that occurred early. They hadn't benefited yet, so we weren't sure if it was going to help. And I might be more willing to try it in somebody who hadn't otherwise benefited. But if they're otherwise responding, I tend towards not treating them because there's the possibility of those durable memory responses that it can persist long after drugs given.